The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Amen. Well, thank you, Doug and Josh, for leading us this morning. Let me add my welcome to you this morning. My name's Terry Carlton. I serve as one of the teaching elders on the team. For those of you who don't know me, this is my good friend. I think this is the way you say it. This is my good friend, your good friend.
That's exactly how I say it.
Jason Malone.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
You know, so glad to be here. I don't want to rush past something.
Let's don't rush past.
I don't want to rush past how great Doug's haircut looks.
It looks great.
Beard trim. Like he looks real fresh. Doesn't he? Look really good. I also want to acknowledge that this posture.
You like it?
No, it's very old school. Like, didn't you grow up in the church? And
I did.
The pastor's preaching, and then like the four associate pastors are sitting behind him in their chairs. And they've got their legs crossed like this because they teach us to do this in Bible college. Mm. And then there's a whole class on how you're supposed to sit on stage. And then their socks never, like there was always the, as a kid, do you remember this, Dougie? Like all I could remember is looking like, why don't they have socks that are long enough? That's not why we're here, people. Go ahead, Terry. Tell them why we're here.
I assume the morning would go like this.
Yeah.
The chairs were much taller, though.
The chairs were much more very regal. Yeah. High back.
Hey, I told him last week that you were excited to come share and open up Esther 1. You excited about doing that today?
Yeah, well, I'm going to let you handle Esther 1 if we get to it, because I've already taken several minutes with all this nonsense.
For sure.
Yep.
Thanks for being here. Last week, if you were not here last week, we shared some pretty exciting news with you. Jason joined us via video. Kyle Eastep, another one of our elders, Remington Brooks was here live with us. And so I would just say, if you're here this morning and you were not here last week and you have not listened to that message online,
you're going to be very confused over the next 15 minutes.
Very confused. And I'd also encourage you to go listen to it.
Yeah. That's fair.
We wanted to take just a few moments this morning and just come talk with you a little bit more specifically about the news that was shared and address maybe a couple common questions that we've received. We've received some really great questions over the last week, and a couple I think that just have been generic that I think would be good for us to address. Let's just start out celebrating the opportunity, because we are excited about the direction that we believe the Lord is leading us as a church. So just take a moment and celebrate. What are you excited about?
Yeah, that's great, because a lot of the questions we've gotten really fall into that category, and folks have asked, like, why is this intriguing, and why is this exciting for all of you? And again, just real quick synopsis, Summit and Fellowship Greenville are forming a strategic partnership to launch a church planting leadership development residency called the Upstate Church Collective. It's not formed. We're going to form it. And when I say we, myself, as I step into a role there at Fellowship Greenville, and then some of the guys on our staff team, part of their job description, will be also helping in the forming of that collective, which we're really, really excited about. And so, and I think we're excited about it for a couple of reasons. We wouldn't have even considered it had we not thought that it fit with who we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, the church planting idea has been on our radar. And some of you go, well, aren't y'all church planting? I go, yeah, we have. Obviously, there's multiple Summit congregations. But this is kind of leadership development, church planting on steroids. Like, that's the potential, I think, that really excites us.
And the difference between addition versus multiplication.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea that we can do more together than separate. We've always talked about that from a partnership standpoint. Now, this is very strategic partnership. But I think you alluded to it last week in the things that you said. I know you did on the video that we showed at our spot last week. I don't know if you've ever tried to do mass communication across four congregations before, but if you haven't, there was a lot that went into different videos being shown at different places with people being live. But one of the things Terry shared on video, which I'm assuming he also shared here in person, is this idea of, you know, multiplication for saturation. I mean, that's what you're saying. Like, this is what we've always been about, you know, from the very beginning. We want to saturate our geography with the gospel through people who are living intentionally in the places that God in his sovereignty has put them. Like, it's one of our core convictions. Whatever God's going to do in redeeming a people to himself, he desires to do through all of Christ's people, the church, big C. And so that's what we've been about. We get to continue to be about that. But to Terry's point, we get to go multiplication instead of, for us, really what's been addition over the first 15 years. I think the other thing that we're really excited about is that we think this really allows us to equip people towards the bullseye. And we get to have real strategic influence in that. Maybe I could say it this way. Through the years, we, Terry and I and Kyle and others on our team, we've been invited to speak into dozens and dozens of organizations and ministries and churches about what we do and how we do what we do. And I love that, and I think we're going to continue to do that. I think doing this is going to get, we're going to get even more invitations to speak to this kind of thing. But with the launching of the collective, we have the opportunity to equip the leaders and planters with our DNA, with expectations of outcomes, right? That outcome being leaders and churches that have been equipped and released with our DNA into new parts of the upstate of South Carolina and beyond. Again, that gets at saturation, gospel presence, gospel accessibility. So as I was just jotting down in my notes, like some things that I go, this is why we're excited. Multiplication for saturation, equipping for the bullseye, as opposed to just stepping in and talking about it and people go, I'll take this part and I'll take that part. Like, we get to set the DNA with a whole set of leaders, which, you know, is really at the heart of what we've done all along, right? Like, this is another core conviction of ours. Whatever God's going to do in redeeming people, he's going to do through a church leadership that sees equipping people in their giftedness is just as important as using their own giftedness. And so the fact that we get to set the DNA and equip the leaders is incredibly exciting to us. Like, I've always loved that part of our ministry. It is the reason we have multiple congregations, multiple teaching teams, leaders, ministry leaders, deacons, life group leaders, those of you that serve and volunteer. Like, that isn't because, well, we're a church, so we need to have those things. It's no, like, there's an equipping piece behind what we do for saturation, and we get to continue to set that. So those are a few of the things I'm excited about. Obviously, this means some staff changes and things that are happening in that role, but even with that, there are things that we're excited about with that. I think for a lot of our staff team, we get to continue to move them towards a place of swinging from their sweet spot in ministry. With any growing organization, it's been one of the perks of planting a church is it's growing, and so with your staff team, I mean, one of the things that would mark Summit from a staff standpoint is we've always been tweaking.
Yeah.
Who's doing what, when, where?
Yeah.
Different seasons, different people are doing different things. Now, I don't know if Easley's felt that to the degree that Easley's getting ready to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a piece of it. But Summit's felt it, and I felt it. I've been around for 15 years, and I've worn a bunch of different hats over the course of that time, and so have a lot of other people. I think the moves that we're putting in place are strategic to allow folks to continue to swing from their sweet spots. And even the staffing piece is towards multiplication, right? As we reorg some of what folks are doing, like, that is with multiplication in mind while continuing to care for who the Lord has in our midst to walk with and shepherd. So,
sure.
And then just on a personal level, because I've had that too, like, why would this be intriguing to you? Jason, you've been around from the beginning. You and your family and a handful of others were part of starting Summit, like, 15 years in. Why would you go, okay, I'll step into this role. I'm going on staff at a new church. Like, what's intriguing about that? And it really is, for me, leadership development on steroids. I love seeing, like, my greatest joy for me in pastoral ministry is seeing other people step into their God-ordained spheres of influence equipped to make much of Jesus and the gospel.
Yeah.
I've been preaching every Sunday since I was 22, basically. And I love it, but it's not my greatest joy in ministry. Like, I love teaching the word. I more so love other people who also have that gift, stepping into that gift and growing in it and using it. Seeing people catch that aha moment of, the Lord's given me another day. It must be because he's still redeeming people to himself and he wants to use me in whatever way he sees fit in that. So if I can give my days and my time to that, I'm in. And culture building. I love building culture. I've been a part of that. I think it's one of my gifts, and I get the opportunity to continue to do that as well. And so those are just on a personal level, Jason Malone, like, some reasons that I'm excited, and I think I'm pumped about moving forward.
Those are really good, man. Yeah. I think one of the things that stands out to me from an excitement standpoint, and I alluded to it a little bit last week, but the opportunity that we're now stepping into, we've been praying about from the very beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
So last week I shared the whole story, bits and pieces of the whole story. It was an hour and 9 minutes. It was a long
just
time.
Just the talking?
Just the talking.
Oh, wow.
Now, you contributed to that hour
sure
and 9 minutes
yeah,
from Cal East Step and
yeah.
Remington.
Sure.
But what a lot of people don't know is a couple interesting things. I met you at Fellowship.
Yeah.
That's where I met you. They invited you back to speak. And we had taken, right when Awakening was forming with our core families, we had decided to go worship there that Sunday morning. And you were talking, I remember, you were talking from 2 Corinthians 4 and about the nature and purpose of the church. Mm. And it was, we grabbed coffee at Chick-fil-A after that service. And
we got chicken biscuit. I've never gone to Chick-fil-A for
their
coffee.
Their coffee is horrible.
And my brother owns two. My brother owns two of them in Charleston, and my nephew owns one in Lawrence. Yeah. And I still tell him their coffee is horrible.
Please forgive me.
Can we strike that from the record on the recording? Thanks, Danny. I don't need that out in public domain. Nope.
If you're
like when we talk about missionaries that are overseas in secret places, we have to strike it from the record, and so. This is Sames. I don't want my brother to know. Like, I might be in his will. I don't want him to know about the coffee. All right, go ahead.
Have you not had this conversation with him?
I have, and honestly, I can't say what he said back because that'll be out
they
there.
Can't
yeah,
the
I
coffee,
can't.
Right?
Exactly. Everybody knows. Sorry. Go ahead.
But when we began to, I mean, a year and a half into our relationship, friendship that turned into partnership, the conversation from day one was about the residency.
Yeah.
It was, hey, Awakening. How could we think strategically about planting churches, Pickens County, Anderson County, Oconee County, all the way to the Georgia line, Summit will take above. And we knew for that to happen, there had to be this equipping arm within the church. And we've been praying about it for years.
Yeah.
And so it was one of the reasons why I wanted to share the story last week, because if you've been around 2 months or you've been around from the whole time, I didn't want people thinking we just got bored over COVID and so we wanted to go do something
it's
new.
It's fair. Yeah.
This is really what we've been praying about from day one. And this now is a moment. Now, we didn't know it would be a partnership with Fellowship.
Right.
But the Lord's opened up that door. And that excites me, that this has been the perpetual prayer for multiplication, for the equipping of the body and leaders to continue to plant churches and partner with churches with a very specific DNA. Has really been at the heartbeat of what we prayed about. So with celebration comes challenges.
Yeah.
Right? So we can acknowledge that on both there's both sides of that. Speak a moment to those challenges.
Well, I've already alluded to one, and that is, especially for Easily, like there is a new level of interdependency that you guys are gonna lean into for a season. And that's because Terry is stepping into my role as congregational pastor at Summit Simpsonville, and we're praying and processing through who will be the congregational pastor here for Easley. What all of you know, though, is we've always done things in team, and that'll continue on. Like even when the Lord shows us who the congregational pastor is for Easley, there'll still be a team of people around teaching and leading and that sort of thing, and so. That's still going to be there, but there is this peace for you guys in the moment. And that's a question we've gotten, and it's a very fair question. One of the questions we've gotten is, well, you guys talked about how for months and months, maybe 16 months, this conversation's been going on, and now here it is, and the announcement's coming out, and there's nobody for Easily yet. And that's a real fair question. What I would say to that is, we haven't known for sure this is happening for 16 months.
Yeah.
There's been a whole lot of conversations. There's been a whole lot of prayer. But the elders of Fellowship and the elders of Summit did not give a thumbs up of moving ahead in this direction until January.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only been a couple of months that we were like, okay. And even then it was, well, what are all the other moving pieces? Right, so then after it was thumbs up, we're there, well, and then what does this mean for here, here, and here? And there were a lot of things that we were praying through for our staff team. So that wasn't all drawn up, and we're just waiting for everybody to sign off on it. It was really attempting to walk in step with the Spirit, not get ahead of the Spirit, not put a bunch of plans in place, and then ramrod something through just because we already had it lined up. So we'll be faithful with what the Lord's called us to until he makes it clear that this is where we're supposed to go, and then we assume he's going to make it clear on what those next steps are. Does that make sense? So that's how we've been processing sure. through that. And we're also now not just kind of waiting for someone to knock on our door and said, hey, I hear you're looking for somebody easily. Well, what about me? Like, we are active, praying, sure. looking, seeking, talking.
Yeah.
And so I just want you to know that. My specific prayer, and that's the prayer of our elders, is that by August, when I step into my role there at Fellowship and Terry's fully in his role at Simpsonville, that we would have somebody here. So that's one way. Join us in prayer.
Yeah.
That's what we're praying for, is that by August. I don't know if that's what the Lord does, because we're not going to rush that.
Yeah.
I will say that to you. We're not looking for a body to find a body. There is a DNA. Mm-hmm. There is a match that we're looking for. We've been down this road before, and we've learned some things. And we're asking the Lord to go before us in that. So I think that's a piece, like this new level of interdependency, so to speak. And then there is, I think, a challenge of the time gap between vision being shared and implementation of said vision. Right? So I can talk all day long about the collective, and I can cast the vision for you, and this is going to be so great.
Mm.
But it doesn't exist. Like, it's not like there is a collective and now we're taking over a collective. There is no collective. We've been invited to build one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take time. And it's going to take time to put people in place in regards to who are the church plant. Like, there's a whole process there that'll take a little bit of time. And so people of Summit have always been super kind and gracious to us in that regard. It's not the first time we've cast some vision and said, let's see how it plays out. And so in this same way, we would just say, hey, we understand what we're talking, what we're saying to you, and there's nothing really yet to see.
Yeah.
Would you be patient with us, pray for us, be intentional with us as we move in that direction? I think those are a couple of the challenges.
Yeah, that's good. I just want to ditto. I think one of the things I love about pastoring the people of Summit has been the lead way that the folks of Summit have given us to earn their trust over time.
Yeah.
Especially when we make decisions that impact all of us. And I do think for this congregation, it is that challenge of acknowledging maybe my role that I played here over the years,
mm-hmm.
while still seeing the beauty and the fruit of interdependency. So on one hand, it's one of the things that excites me, that Summit Easily is going to be able to experience to a greater degree, I believe, the beauty and the fruit of interdependent leadership. And I also can go, I think it's probably one of our greatest challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't the first time we've done this. And I think I just want you to speak to this for a moment. All of our congregations have experienced this to some extent. I mean, there were 5-6 years that you and Kyle, two elders, were not primarily within any congregation. Spartanburg has experienced that. So mm-hmm. maybe paint that picture a little bit.
Yeah, because of multiplication, like that's always because of addition. But I mean, because we've always wanted to multiply, that's always been a piece of what we've had to do.
Yeah.
We've always said this: if you're at a place just because you prefer one of us, this probably isn't going to be your place. Because we're not going to be around long enough for you to prefer. I know that sounds harsh, and if you're newer with it, you're like, this is weird. And some people don't like it. And it's interesting how that plays out. I mean, I remember in Spartanburg in particular, we had a few folks that were like, well, I'm out. Like, I need the same guy. Like, that's my preference. I want the same guy every week.
Mm.
Okay. There's plenty of churches around here where there's a guy, and he will be your guy. And that's great. But we've always worked with plurality.
Sure.
And we've always worked with interdependency. And part of that is because we don't think we can get multiplication if it's just built on a person. Now, part of this is even me stepping into my room. I mean, this is proof of concept in some ways, right? You can talk about it all day long. And now, well, Jason, y'all started it. I get that. But I've never thought that it's about me.
Sure.
So we'll go into this other seat,
yeah,
because I believe that the DNA of Summit is the DNA of Summit.
Yeah.
And there are some strategic partnership things that we can do between Summit and Fellowship that it's not see you guys later, good luck. I mean, that's part of the intriguing and exciting part of this role from Fellowship side and from Summit side is what interdependency looks like between two local churches in the same geographical area. I don't know. I don't know of anybody that's doing this. honestly. I think it's done overseas in some places where the church, big C, functions very biblically. I think in the States, churches are super competitive with one another historically. And so this idea of cross-pollinating staffs and leadership and that sort of thing is real skeptical. And I'm excited about trying something different to go, hey, you know, and that's what we said. That's what I said at the end. You know, people have always said some of it's a little weird. In a good way, most of the time. Sometimes you guys are just weird. Most of the time in a good way. And I think we get an opportunity here to do something that's a little weird.
Yeah.
But I think if you, it was, this was the ask last week, right? Like, if you'll live in this with us over the next 12 months, I think you'll be able to go, huh, what a thing that the Lord's doing, because that really is our heartbeat in it. And so, yeah, I think Easley's getting ready to experience something that Malden has experienced for a season. Cherrydale has experienced for a season. Spartanburg has experienced for a season. But again, even in that, I pray that the season isn't long, but at the end of the day, Terry's right. Like, Terry's been here, and Tris, and other, like, he's been here from the beginning. So this is going to feel different for Easley. But also, Terry's not leaving here, which sounds super weird, because even when a new guy comes here to be the congregational pastor and he'll teach here, Terry will still teach here some. Like, that's still going to be part of the deal.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just I love it, but I think that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a challenge to process through and think through and kind of live in. But I think it's super biblical.
It's good. So here's the two questions, and I told you we'd go 20 minutes.
Let's just listen. Esther, what you are going to say today about Esther is already on the World Wide Web. For other, if they can go home and watch it, we can take as long as we want right now. That's already done. Amen? Oh. Amen. Dougie, scratch a song. We're going to keep going.
You've already alluded to for one of the questions. I'm just going to state on both anyway.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's how they were phrased, either to myself or to our leaders within the church. Why would we move forward with this opportunity without filling the role of a congregational pastor? Mm-hmm. One. Two, if there is no congregational pastor, what is the plan for Easley?
Yeah, that's really good. Those are great questions. I'll let you speak to the plan, because maybe you alluded to that a little bit last week. I wasn't obviously here, so I didn't know if you spoke to
a little bit,
the plan that's in place, but say that again, because I think it's a great plan.
Yeah, I think you addressed one of those plans, and I think part of the reason why we would step, I think it was good for people to hear that the elders really affirmed a yes about 2.5 months ago.
Yeah.
So not 17 months of, oh, we're doing this, can we feel that? No, that's not what the process was like.
Right.
I think interdependency is the reason why we would say yes to now. The plan is, like, we really do believe that our core leadership, coupled with our interdependent pastoral team, is in a great spot to lead through a transition. So our life group leaders, our deacon team, along with Jim Geyer. Jim Geyer is going to be around. Jim Geyer is going to be helping lead our deacon team. We're adding new folks over the summer to our deacon team. Mm-hmm. We believe with that core group of leadership, life group leaders, with our current elders and pastoral team, that for a season, Easley is set up to be led in a healthy way.
Yeah.
To see the beauty that, like, when we say that Jesus really is the chief shepherd, we really do believe that. And if we really do believe that, then it not only has philosophical implications, it has methodological implications, meaning how we actually live and do life and how we lead and equip within the church. And so I think part of the plan, Heather Huff, I also wanted to mention, is Heather in here this morning? Heather, there she is. Heather Huff is joining Ashley O'Shields as the Co-Summit Kids Director.
Yes.
And so we're excited about that.
Welcome.
Ashley, who would I say? Not O'Shields. She's in Tunisia right
it's
now.
It's a new thing we're trying.
And
like, this
not,
is interdependence on a whole
not,
new level.
We're not
Skyping her in.
That's not going to work. No. Ashley Crippen. Thankful it was at least somebody we knew. Ashley Crippen, Heather Huff are going to be leading Summit Kids. And so this is an opportunity for people within our body to step up into their giftedness, to join with our teams fighting for unity. Ephesians 4, that the body equips the body. And we as a congregation really believe that we're in a place that we can live into that.
Yeah, I mean, we pray that it's not this long, but like I said, they've all experienced it. But Spartanburg just went through a season of a year.
Yeah.
We did it for a year. Our collective team led Spartanburg for a year without a congregational pastor in place. And the people were great. I think that is the challenge here, and I haven't heard this from anybody, but I'm just going to put it out there. Like, at the end of the day, if people that are a part of the core, now again, if you're newer with us, and you're like, listen, I've just been here for 2 months, and I don't know about this. Like, that's fair. We'll have those conversations with you, and so this isn't a guilt statement. For those of you that are in, though, and you've been around, like when I say proof of concept of me stepping out of Summit altogether to a new church, so to speak, the same is true here with Terry and Tris. Like, you can talk all day long about it's not about a guy. Well, now you're getting ready to find out for you if it's really about a guy. So you can say it, but if you're like, I don't know. Either if you're a part of the core here, if you're in with us around the DNA, then you're in with us around the DNA, and this is a piece of that.
Yeah.
That you're getting ready to live through a little differently than you've lived through it in the past, but it's still always been there. It's allowed us to do what the Lord's called us to do as a church, which isn't better than other churches. It's just how we've done it and how we feel like the Lord's called us to do it. Does that make sense? And so I do think this is kind of a rubber meets the road piece for some folks here. Now, I'm not leery. Like, we're not scared.
Yeah.
Like, all the conversations we've had and the conversations we've had with leadership has been one of, we can do this, let's do this. Absolutely, this is who we are. Mm. So I want to affirm that. But I also want you to know there's going to be, over the next couple of weeks and months, some times in your own heart and mind where you go, And so let's talk about that. Let's process through that. Don't just bounce.
Yeah.
And then try to figure it out, you know, 7 months from now, like, where did so-and-so go? Kind of thing, and that happens sometimes. So that'd be my encouragement.
That's good, which actually speaks to what I'd like you to do as we wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to address two groups of people in the room. I want you to address people in the room who maybe been around Summit less than a year, and they go, "What in the world is going on right now?" What would you say to them? And then address the folks in the room who've journeyed with us for quite some time, and maybe you don't say anything different, maybe you do, but address those two groups of people. This is great. You love doing this to me.
I feel like I've said plenty to those that have been around for a while.
Sure.
To those that are newer, your questions about how things play out methodologically, philosophically, and strategically are welcome.
Absolutely.
And we would love to talk with you about it.
Yep.
Because I get that it sound like this really does sound odd. On multiple levels. Churches working this close together in partnership to like launch a church, like fellowships, not identical to Summit. There's differences there. I don't think that they're differences that would keep us from being able to plant common DNA churches. You know, they're big. The church there's 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Summit's about 1,000 spread across 4 different congregations. One's not right and one's wrong in regards to how that plays out. That's just a philosophical thing that's kind of happened over time. For us, we were super strategic on wanting to keep our congregations the size that they are. I can share with you in my conversations with Fellowship that the reason they're so intrigued by the partnership is because of how the Lord, I want to say how we've done it, but I don't mean it in that way. I think you know what I'm saying. How the Lord has led us.
Yeah.
Like, they know to saturate a geography with churches that are gospel-centered, missionally driven, disciple-making churches, that grabbing 3,000 people and heading to Gaffney probably isn't going to work. Right?
Yeah.
But a congregation of a couple of hundred people in Gaffney or Wahala? Yeah, that seems to be working, and you guys have shown how to set that up and how to do that. And so that's part for them, like this strategic piece of how we've done it.
Mm.
And I heard them say that to their people last week. Like, Summit's ahead, like, even though they've obviously been around a lot longer as a church, decades and decades, we've only been around 15 years. And even though they're numerically larger than us, said there last week from the stages, like, Summit's practiced something and lived in something that we can learn from. And so I'm excited about that. So if you're just newer with us, like, we, you know, that's probably just a coffee with Remington or Terry or somebody that would share with you our DNA and why we do things the way we do, and we've always done it that way.
Yeah.
If you're here, would you pray with us? I think there's a temptation at times to go, that's what you guys do, and you'll let us know what we need to know when we need to know it. I'd love for you to specifically pray for us.
Yep.
Like, we, with us, we need that. We long for that.
Yep.
So the terminology I put in my notes was pray with purpose. Pray with a purpose. Pray specifically for who will be here as the congregational pastor. Pray that they would be here by August. Pray that the people here would receive that person, that family, whoever it is, with open arms and grace and an understanding of who we are and how we do what we do. And then I wrote down, just continue to live with purpose.
Yeah.
Continue to, like, this is an opportunity. So these kinds of things happen at church. It's happened around Summit, and there's two ways to do it when this kind of stuff comes out. One way is, we'll see, and I'm going to sit on my butt. Strike that from the record also. Are you allowed to say butt from the stage? Have you ever said butt before? I don't know if I've ever said butt.
Am I
in trouble right now?
No, you're good.
Some people
I'm
just
sure Doug has said worse.
I'm sure Doug has
said
worse
with you here.
100%.
Actually.
Wait a second. Strike another song, Dougie. I'm still going. The tendency for some can be, I'm just going to wait and see.
Yeah.
And you guys prove yourself to me. I'm talking to the core. If you're newer, I get it. But if you're here, if Summit's your church, I would encourage you not just to sit there and go, well, I'll wait and see. I think that's a dangerous place to live. And historically, people who say, I'll wait and see, they don't wait to see. Mm. And two, it positions your heart with one foot already out the door. And that's not helpful to the body. If we have done anything that would lead you to question us from a trust standpoint, we'd love to have that conversation with you to make that right.
Yeah.
But it's the worst to try to guess that. As a leader in the church, it's the worst to try to guess what have we done for you to step back instead of lean in.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty good at hearing from the Spirit of God through the Word of God. One of my spiritual gifts is discernment. I don't have the gift of mind reading. So I would say that. So live in it with us on purpose. And then, yeah, those would be the two.
That's good, man.
Pray with purpose with us and live on purpose with us. I think those are key pieces over this next, not just 2 months, 3 months, but really over the next year. Like, anybody that steps in here is going to need time to, like, be here and build relationships and that sort of thing. And that for any pastor stepping into any situation, that takes time, and it takes intentionality on the pastor's part, and it takes intentionality on the people's part with the pastor.
Sure. Thank you. Super helpful. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here. You should have received a piece of paper on your way in, our Vision 2030 document. We gave that out to our leadership team on our leadership retreat in January of 2020 with the intent to give it to you in March of 2020.
And then there was a thing.
And then there was a thing that happened, and we did not get to put it into your hands. But we were able to talk about it at the retreat. You know, last week I showed you the Vision 2030 booklet, the blue booklet that we had and gave to you. This piece of paper was the update from that booklet. This is prayers that the Lord had answered. And it was encouraging, even at the retreat, to see how the Lord has answered prayer. And what I want you to pay attention to on that document, especially in light of what we shared, is how the Lord has answered prayer even from that point of January 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really encouraging. So I want you to pick it up, continue to pray for those things, obviously, as we continue to think about the five distinctives and how it influences not just our current congregations, but partnership with other churches. And to Jason's point, would you pray over that document with purpose? And as you keep processing, if questions do come to mind, please let us know. Reach out to myself, Remington. We would love to give space to talking with you. And so, Jason, I'll let you kind of wrap it up. And then what I'd like you to do is just pray for the people of Easley this morning.
For sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this crew and your kindness and grace that you have brought to be a part of the Summit family and the Summit Easley expression of the Summit family. And you've been so kind and gracious to us in a multitude of ways. And we ask that you would continue to do so, that you would continue to go before us. Even as we have prayed about who steps in here as the congregational pastor, we trust you with that. We know that you know exactly who that is and from whence they will come and when they will be here. And we ask that you just continue to direct our steps and allow us to grow in our faith and trust of you as you continue to provide in ways that you have always provided. And we'll thank you for that. I pray that this crew here and Easley would know of your love and your care for them in practical and tangible ways. As I look back on that document, Vision 2030 document, I just see your kindness to us in a multitude of ways. And I pray that six months from now and 1 year from now and 10 years from now, we'll continue to be able to look back and say, hey, look what God did for his glory and fame. And we will thank you for that. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. As followers of Jesus, when we think about the world, or when we think about our life in general, and when we think about the world and our life in general, and we do so through the lens of the Word of God, we see things that cannot be seen with the natural eye. In other words, God's Word, what it reveals to us is the things that we cannot see with our natural eye are more significant and valuable than the things that we can see. And that's what Paul's writing here. 2 Corinthians 4 says, the value difference between what we can see and what we cannot see is eternal. Here's Paul writing to this struggling church who's under the weight of heavy oppression, heavy paganism and idolatry, impressed in a multitude of ways by a culture that is turned in on itself. And here's what he says, don't lose heart. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, I tell you, what in the world does this have to do with Esther? Well, I think the story of Esther is going to help us look past what we see naturally. What we see in the moment, whether it be the circumstance, whether it be the tangible predicament we find ourselves in, whether it be the pleasure of the moment. And what the story of Esther is going to help us see is what's really behind what is seen. It's going to enable us to see the unseen. And you and I know, especially from a passage like this that Paul is writing to this struggling church, that if we are going to live as people of hope in the midst of a world that cannot offer us true lasting hope, then we have to have eyes to see what cannot be seen. Have you ever read the Bible and thought to yourself, hey, what I'm reading here and what I'm actually experiencing, it just doesn't relate? I think about reading through the Exodus and how the people of God, they witnessed the 10 plagues, they witnessed the parting of the Red Sea, they eat manna in the desert. And perhaps we look at those stories and we think, man, if I were in their shoes, I'd follow God too. If I saw God do those incredible, miraculous things, I would for sure follow him with undying loyalty. All throughout the Bible, there seems to be these miracles, and we see the audible voice of God. God speaks to prophets, and prophets then speak to the people, and what he speaks to the people, those things come true. Stuff happens. And then we get to the New Testament, Jesus. We see him in his incarnation. He comes on the scene and he performs all of these incredible things. He heals people. He feeds massive crowds. He raises people from the dead. And even after Jesus ascends to heaven, the Holy Spirit comes, and through the apostles, even then, incredible things happen. They're healing people. They're casting out demons. Unbelievable miracles. And maybe you and I are tempted to go, well, how could anyone not believe? I mean, God was obviously present. How could anyone doubt? And then we think about our life. We read these accounts in God's word and we struggle to relate them to our present moment, don't we? And we wonder, if God is real, then why doesn't he make himself more clear? If God wants us to believe, why doesn't he make it easier for us to see him? And if you're honest, if we're honest in the room this morning, most of us struggle to see where God is and what he is up to. Our boss, our career, seems to have more control over our lives than God does. Our lives easily become more affected by what someone thinks of us or what someone says about us than what God thinks or says about us. Temporal things like money and status and perceived power, they seem to hold the keys to success and happiness in our lives rather than what is eternally true. And yet, by and large, I don't think these things are true of us because we want nothing to do with God. I think these things are true because we struggle to follow a God we cannot see. That's where the story of Esther meets us. Just like in Esther's day, our culture is vying for us to believe in and pursue its definition of success and happiness. And it's enticing to grab hold of because that definition of success is tangible. We can see it and we can grab hold of it. It's not easy to follow a God in a world that's broken, filled with broken systems and broken ideologies. Ideologies that constantly tell us to abandon the God we cannot see and thus seek our own path of success and pleasure. We live in a cultural moment where the world is growing more and more hostile to the claims of absolute truth. And in the deep recesses of our heart, there's often this temptation. Wouldn't it just be easier to compromise so we can live in peace? Wouldn't it be easier just to kind of be silent, blend in so we can have our perceived comfort and security, especially if we think God is distant and uninterested? You see, I think the story of Esther reads a lot like our story. God's people are living as foreigners in a pagan culture that doesn't share their beliefs about God. We can relate. Their culture judges everything by appearance and perception. We can relate. These people, God's people, are being seduced into seeking temporary satisfaction in shallow pleasures. We can relate. The culture around God's people were not okay that their allegiance lied with God and God alone. And so it became increasingly hostile for them. In fact, it became increasingly dangerous. And you and I can relate. As the story unfolds in Esther, in which we're going to see over the next 10 weeks, what you and I are going to discover about God in this story is that he seems strangely silent. His name is not even mentioned in the story. There's no visions, no tangible instructions from God about how to avoid the danger before them. There's no miracles in this story. There's no visible expression of God's miraculous power. God never shows up in Esther to supernaturally rescue his people from danger. It's as almost if God is hidden, veiled, silent, unseen. Can you relate? Have you been there? Have you been in the seasons where you thought God was silent, hidden, veiled? Maybe you're there today. I've got good news for you. The story of Esther will meet you there. As one author puts it, if God's people are going to avoid compromise and continue to follow God, it's not going to be because God shows up supernaturally. If God's people are going to remain faithful, they're going to have to look back in history and trust that the God who had delivered his people in the past will deliver them again. They'll have to trust that even though they don't see God, God is present. And even though they have no idea of what God is doing, they can know for certain that he will not fail to keep any of his promises. I love the way Ray Ortland puts it. He says, in the book of Esther, God is everywhere present, but nowhere mentioned. He is always present, even when we are oblivious. This is where the story of Esther meets us. It comes right to us, and it calls us not to give in to the seductive voices of our culture. And it beckons us to trust that God is at work even when we cannot see him, even when we cannot trace his hand. We're excited to study this book with you next week. We're going to jump into Esther chapter 1. And I want to encourage you to do a couple things this coming week. I want to encourage you to go online, summitupstate.org, on the main page, is a tab that's going to talk, that it's just going to have, it's going to say Esther, right? And it's going to have a reading guide for you to pull up. Our team puts so much time and energy and prayerful thought into providing this resource for you. And so what it's going to do, it's going to give you a summary of Esther, summary of the chapter that we're walking through. And in addition to that, it's going to have life group questions. So if you're plugged into life group, it's going to give you a framework of how to lead that discussion based off of that passage with your community. At the same time, another thing I'm excited about what we're going to be doing this time is we're actually going to trace the storyline of redemption that covers the overarching narrative of the entire Bible. So what I mean by that, when we get to Esther chapter 1 next week, the people of God are in exile in Persia. So maybe you're wondering, well, why are they in exile? Well, we're actually writing the guide in such a way to take us back to specific places in redemptive history to answer that. And so over the next 10 weeks, we're going to trace the storyline of redemption from beginning to the new heavens and the new earth. It's a great opportunity to journey with us as we walk through Esther and parallel that with this overarching storyline of redemption. It's a way for us to continue to teach and shape each of us in our spiritual formation. So I encourage you, go to the website this week. Be sure that you're pulling up that guide. It'll renew every week, so it'll be updated next Sunday. If you did not receive it in your email inbox this morning, if it's not there, let us know. It'll also be emailed out. It's a great tool. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is read Esther 1 this week. Read it. Spend time praying over it. One of the things we've encouraged you to do in the story of Ruth is to print it out. Print out the story, highlight, write in the margins, write your questions, and then ask the Lord to speak to you It's an incredible story, but it's complex. Remember what you're reading is historical narrative. So it's a real story with real people, real place, real time. Okay? Let's collectively this week be in Esther 1, praying for our time together next Sunday, and using the guide and the prayerful pieces that are a part of that resource to pursue the Lord together. Would you stand with me? I want to sing one more song. I want to thank you for being here with us this morning. The song will kind of be our benediction out. If you come today prepared to give your tithes and offering, you can do so in the baskets down front, or there's a place in the back in the foyer that you can give. Hey, we're celebrating our last month's budget. We were over budget here at Summit Easley, so we praise God for that. I want to encourage each of us to continue to consider our part that we have in the financial resources. That's part of what Jason's talking about, praying with purpose and then being purposely connected. This is going to take all of us being willing to live with open hands as we continue to trust God with what He's doing in and through us. So thank you for the part you're playing, living with open hands. I want to encourage you to continue to be faithful to do so. We love you, are thankful for you, excited about studying this book together. He may not be mentioned by name, but He's everywhere present. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.